Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and I were just talking about these scams out here on the interweb. Be careful. You know, you get those crazy emails and stuff, right? And I just told Mike, like, I just got one that was basically like, pay your PayPal. I was like, pay my PayPal. But I don't know, man. How do people get scammed if you don't read this stuff or
I don't know.
Look at it, man?
I mean, I do think sometimes, you know, anything – first off, sometimes it's the font.
True.
You know, when something is all capitals and it just looks screwy or nothing's in focus, like it's sometimes been photoshopped. Like a message from FedEx, a package, you're going to be – you know, delete, immediately delete and block. I just told Carl – this was a scam a few months ago. I think it still goes on, where you'll get some area code – there'll be an international code, so there'll be two digits. So obviously it's not coming from America. It's like, your Peach Pass is expired. It's like, wow, I didn't know Peach Pass had an office in Istanbul.
How would you know?
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, just delete it. Don't even think about opening. But you're right, man. A lot of nonsense out there.
Hey, man, we're live inside of Ticketmaster Studios, hanging out here at Flowery Branch. Coach is going to come in here and join us next hour. They are practicing as we speak, getting ready for the Vikings. Guy just asked me, how are you feeling after watching the Vikings on Monday night? I don't know what Vikings team we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, they looked like dog for the first three quarters, and J.J. McCarthy. But I said to Carl after the game, it was almost like, I made it. I passed. You know, it's like, it was almost literally like a guy that was trying to, like, who's it, the girl trying to make the obstacle course. In that was just on the other night, so it's in my mind, in an officer and a gentleman. Yeah, that's the way McCarthy was being, like, pumped up by his teammates, Justin Jefferson, game ball from the coach. All of a sudden, that's why I said, damn. If he comes out of Chicago with his tail between his legs, I like our chances. Now he's feeling, gonna fly now.
He is.
Three touchdowns in one quarter is nothing to sneeze at.
No, he got his mental right, right? Got your mental. I don't know if his chicken's right, but he got his mental right. I'll say this. It does raise my level of concern only from the standpoint of once you have confidence, and our guy has it, right? We saw it Sunday. We've been telling you that how he operates. And I'm gonna read something to you from Zach Robinson today that I think really just solidifies whatever thoughts you might have about Michael Penix. But it does raise concern for our defense. Only if we're not able to get a couple of sacks, Mike, and put some pressure on him.
Right.
Hell, I could throw the ball if you don't pressure any quarterback in the NFL. We didn't get home last week like we wanted to. Well, getting home, by the way, is the phrase for getting sacks, okay?
Right.
So we didn't get home. If you allow him to continue to gain that confidence first quarter, second quarter, Mike, it raises my level of concern. Absolutely.
Right. So, I mean, and we talked about Pierce Jr. because all eyes were on Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker. They were situational. We'll ask Coach Raheem Morris in less than an hour, guys. He'll be inside our Ticketmaster studios here exclusively at Flowery Branch with Dukes and Bell. But, yeah, what he thinks about it because, you know, the metrics and the analytics, there's 162 baseball games. You and I were talking about it. You can look at 500 or 400 at-bats, and you can get trends, and you can see things, okay, I'm going to work this or that against that hitter. When you only got 17 games and you've got a pitch count or you're only going a certain amount of times, it's hard for me to take that and say, okay, yeah, James Pierce Jr., he was got a great win rate. Well, he didn't get Baker Mayfield on his ass.
Correct.
Now, we did, as Dave Archer pointed out yesterday, we took the Bucs down from 400 points, or 400 yards, I should say, to about 240. So we had them down from their average. But we didn't get home when it mattered,
when
the game was on the line. Sorry, I'm hitting G Money over here like on for emphasis. But no, man, we couldn't get home when the game mattered. So to me, that analytics doesn't give me anything. You know, I'm glad he's beating his man. It's not resulting in a sack. Unless we're going to go back to 2014 and now it's Mike Smith and sacks don't matter. Now, I understand. You can get the quarterback off the point.
Well,
you want to make him uncomfortable.
Because we weren't sacking anybody.
We made Baker uncomfortable. Yes, great. But we never got – when we needed to get him on the ground, we couldn't do it.
Yeah, I agree, man. Let me read this to you because this when Zach Robinson said this, and he's not lying, I was like, that's it. I've been searching for, like, what is it? Zach Robinson said, we have to play better around Penix. He's just a competitive, his competitive greatness, it's in him. That's what you saw on Sunday. Like, help him.
Right.
Give me some help.
Right.
Right? And it's weird because usually we talk about this in the sense of, like, basketball, where one guy can take a game over and the ball's in his hands all the time, Mike, and you go, hey, if I'm going to pass it to you, Paxton, I need you to hit this shot. Steve Kerr, I need you to hit this shot. That's what he's saying about Penix. His competitive greatness is just like, yo, we're going to make a play. If I come to you, don't screw it up.
Right.
And if I don't, I'm going to make a play. And that's what you saw. His finishing this quote from Zach Robinson, our OC, Mike. He says, some of those runs, I still don't even know how he kept his knees off the ground.
Right.
That was what was incredible. It was like, I won't be denied.
That's why, and I know it's a different type of athlete because Michael Vick was the generational talent, you know. But when you saw him levitate, for the guys, if you're Falcon fans, if you're young, you can look it up. He levitated for 5 yards. Both guys got tripped up, and both guys, like, Superman to the end zone and stayed off the ground. And Penix Jr. did the same thing, and he's a little bit taller than Michael Vick, but he was both the kind of thing you're like, wow, because from the end zone, like, oh, he didn't get in. And they were like, holy cow, he made it. So that's the kind of stuff. And teammates, as we said, they love, they rally around that, and he may have to do more Superman stuff up in Minnesota.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 404-726-0929. That's the phrase, guys, competitive greatness. That I won't be denied. We are going to make this happen. And that is what it felt like Sunday, which is why it was so frustrating to lose. Because you were like, dude, he's laying it out on the line for us. Like, he's doing all this crap. Somebody catch a ball. Somebody do something.
Pitts, I mean, like, you know, we always talk about Pitts. Pitts was making plays. 2 minutes. That's the thing. Not every young quarterback can do the 2 minute drill.
No.
Penix did that for you. Should have done enough to beat the Commanders on that Sunday night game. Certainly did enough to get Kuhn to kick that game tying field goal, put us into overtime, and then we'll take our chances from there. Right? And then who knows? Maybe Pierce Jr. does get there or Walker gets there.
Right.
Leonard Floyd, we haven't talked about him. I don't want Leonard Floyd to be Judon 2.0. It's just one game. So I'm not going to start throwing it down because I know Leonard Floyd is the consummate pro.
He is.
But we thought we were getting that with Judon last year. Hopefully he's got stuff left in the tank. He's going to get there.
Want to discuss this real quick because Andre hits us up. Find Mike at Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio shows. Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station guys at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on. We were talking about Drake London and his importance. And maybe I'm overstating this as I was talking about stretching the field. Like Mike says, sometimes we say stuff on this microphone. It comes out and you go, what the hell are you guys talking about? Andre, big fan of the show, says, fellas, Dukes, Drake London does not stretch the field. He's a possession receiver. Let me tell you what he is. He's your number one red zone target. Period. He says, at the end of this, Darnell is that guy that stretches the field. He doesn't have that kind of speed. What's up, Darnell? Jokingly with me. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. But when you take Drake out of the equation, Darnell is not even as effective as he can be because of what Drake brings to this offense. Guys, he is your number one wide receiver. Possession, however you want to define it, Mike. Possession, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. Let me tell you when the game's on the line who Michael Penix is going to throw it to. Drake London.
That's the guy he's got the chemistry with. That's the, like we talked about Julio. You know, so I guess Julio was a possession receiver then too. Because Julio
Come
made tough.
Now.
No, I'm dogging out the caller or the texture because Julio did a lot of like moving the chains, and then he would do the vertical stuff. Julio did everything. Julio would make the tough catches when he wanted to. Not when he's taking every other play off. You know, the last year before he got his contract extension, when it was like Julio's catching a blow. But I mean, in his prime, Julio could do everything.
I can't stop you on this. We have had
facts.
This yes, because
facts.
We've had this conversation. Like they don't you feel like, and again, revisionist history, Falcon fan,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it feel like Julio should have led like the league in touchdowns for like 8 years?
No.
Seriously.
Yep.
I sound like Jerry Jones.
But
seriously.
But then we get the Julio guys go, well, that's on Matt. And then you go to Matt people, that's on Julio. So, all right, well, then maybe we should have practiced more. Oh,
where
that couldn't
is
do that.
Julio.
But again, I don't want to ruffle any. You know what? That's ancient
no,
history.
No, it's too late. You already did.
It's too late.
You
it's
already
too
went
late.
There.
No,
you just said when he wanted to play. I heard what you said.
At the end. He's banged up a lot because he left it all on the field.
Why are you bringing up old
Yeah. No, man. Let's get Julio on the show. That's right. He doesn't do radio. Maybe do a podcast. Maybe we get him on that podcast we're doing now.
Why are you bringing up old
Hey, you were just trying to make a comparison.
I'm just saying, if you tell me Drake London's not a deep threat.
But you did go there.
But Julio could do it all. But Drake's longest pass last year was 39 yards. To the caller's point, Texas point.
Yes.
You want to have the home run ball. Jamar Chase had a...
But guys, explosive plays are defined as more than 20 yards.
Right.
Okay? So that's an explosive play. When you start talking about, I get it, in our heads as fans, we go, oh, it's a 50 or 75-yard play. guys, you move the chains 20, 25 yards, that's an explosive play. So either way, I get it. Andre, appreciate you listening. But my whole thing with this is, and I maybe I'm saying it inaccurately as I'm stressing to you the importance of Drake London, how he makes this offense roll. And because to your point about if you see him as a possession receiver and I see him as more, he opens up everything else for everyone else.
But it's funny, we talked about to the Texas point about Darnell Mooney, the big stat, the
What's
big
up,
play stat, which is a new metric for the NFL. Everybody's got to create these new numbers every
it's crazy.
Year.
It's crazy.
The big numbers. Justin Jefferson had 28 bigs. George Kittle had 21 bigs. 21 for Darnell Mooney.
Big explosive
plays. Big explosive plays.
That's
49
right.
yards was the longest for Darnell Mooney. So that's, I mean, I understand the argument, but I see certainly Drake London is more of a possession receiver.
Yeah.
That's a backhanded compliment.
It really is. I mean, honestly, because what if I told you he had more touchdowns than anybody else in the wide receiving room, and you're like, well, what does that matter? Well, that ain't a possession receiver. That's a guy in the red zone that is my number one target.
Right.
And I feel like he is the most trusted target on the outside. Although, Mike, one of the reasons this whole Darnell Mooney thing started is because I felt like Kirk Cousins had a chemistry with him last year, which we saw early in the season. Obviously, it fell off with everybody.
And right, speaking of the touchdown numbers, Ja'Marr Chase was heads and shoulders above everyone with 17 last year. But just bringing it back to this Vikings matchup on Sunday night, Justin Jefferson at 10 touchdowns. We got to Drake London with 9. Mm-hmm. Jordan Addison, who won't be able to play Sunday, 9. So they're missing some guys.
I'm kind of happy about that,
Me
by the way.
Too.
I'm kind of happy
One
about
less
that.
Thing for our guys to have to worry about out there. But that complimentary football, hopefully the finish rate, getting home, because I love the numbers, but to me, that's why when I had our rant, Carl and I got into, and we were talking about analytics, because one guy hit me up on the text side, Mike, you just don't understand analytics. No, I think analytics serve a purpose. The sample size in baseball is much greater than football, but when you're talking about exit velocity and it's going directly to a third baseman or a center fielder, it doesn't help me. I don't give a crap. You know, I don't even mention it. No, yes, I get it. If you hit the ball harder, the odds are it'll go where someone isn't.
Right.
So I understand the logic behind it. But to sit there and use it as chapter and verse, who cares? I don't. So again, to say that, you know, we got really good finish rate or we got these guys, they didn't get to the quarterback. So when I hear that James Pierce Jr. was better than Michael Williams or Mike Green, who we both talked about.
Pressure rate. Yes.
Okay, pressure rate. You moved Baker off the spot for three quarters. When the game was on the line, you didn't get there. So it's empty calories. How about that?
Okay, fair enough. Look, I like to call it, I like to these are those numbers that
you can bend them any way you want to make it sound like we're almost got there.
Yeah, but these are the numbers that his agent won't be using in a contract negotiation.
Correct.
Okay, that's where I'll go.
How many sacks did you have? No, but.
Correct. Yeah. Did you know? Because this is something the Falcons sold us on when they drafted him. He had the highest pressure rate in the SEC last year. Right? So what they're telling you is he's always in and around the quarterback.
Right.
And that is a thing that we needed to improve on. But at the end of the day, like, you're not going to any team. Micah Parsons got $188 million, not because his pressure rate, because he gets 12-plus sacks a season.
Right. I mean, it wasn't like Bosa was negotiating pressure rates. He was negotiating sacks.
So I feel you.
No, again, and as we also like to say, we don't get into absolutes, because the two things can be true. He was better than those other rookies, and that's great.
Yes.
But
I
need sacks.
For me, the thing I wanted to point out, though, about James is when people were like, dude, I'm not seeing James, or I where's he at? It doesn't mean that guys aren't doing their job. And that was the thing for me, like, this is the part of the tape. If you just solely look at that and you see him, he's doing his job. And as a matter of fact, he's doing it at a high level. How good, Dukes? Well, he was better than all these other guys. And that's kind of the reason why I wanted to point it out. But I'm with you about finishing. Like, at the end of the day, it don't matter.
And look, we'll ask Coach about, you know, hey, it seems like at least the nerds say the pressure rates were there for Jalen Walker and for Pierce Jr. Would it be? Do we get enough pressure from the interior of the line? Something you and I were talking about with a listener yesterday on Twitter. We don't say X. Talking about, hey, what is row your boat doing? What about Onyemata? Are they creating that pressure, which is going to allow those guys to get home?
Yeah, it's a really good question.
You know, really, for me, man, stats are for losers, man.
Ross,
I hear you, brother.
Stop. Well,
me too. He'll
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He'll probably say that today as we talk about pressure rate. Then he might not.
I will ask Coach, because they get the, you know, Squidbill always, you know, you see that 22 film that I get to see and you don't see. You know, the 22
is that
film.
How he said it?
No, I'm kidding. I don't obsess that.
Let me tell you what.
I could hear him say that in his voice. But, I mean, certainly you can see things on that film that maybe we
all
can
22.
Ask Coach about how the whole D-line functioned. And what he thought.
Coming up, you didn't pay him. He left. Well, you traded him. So let's bring in an old head and see if we can sign him and maybe help us get some pass rush. Mm. Who are the Cowboys meeting with today? Part of 4th and 1 coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.